Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
How are we doing, everybody? Good morning. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket Can. Coming your way this morning on the program, Max Starks is going to join us. He protected Ben Roethlisberger on the offensive line for two Super Bowl championships in Steelerland. Now Big Ben rides off into the sunset. We'll talk to Max in hour number four this morning on the show about Big Ben's career, the way that it ended, and what's next for the Steelers at the quarterback position. What does this offseason look like in Western PA? Also this morning on the show, play-by-play voice for CBS Sports, Andrew Catalan from the NFL on CBS, from March Madness in college basketball, from CBS's golf coverage, will be delivering Mraz's fitness journal. We have not had an update since Thursday of last week. How gruesome was the weekend from a calorie standpoint? There were 6 playoff games that couldn't have equaled good times for the gastrointestinal system of Mraz. Andrew Catalan joins us, hour number 3. It's a Tuesday, Tuesday, which means it's a trash Tuesday. What is it that's bugging you? I mean, look, we just had a weekend chock full of playoff games. There should be something that's annoying you. Probably plenty that's annoying you. So hit us up on the phones with your trashes at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter. Hit me up with your trashes, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. In 20 minutes, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day, including Patriots fans melting down on Sports Talk Radio over there Saturday night. Plus, in 40 minutes, sounds like the Cowboys have no plans to move on from Mike McCarthy. Is that the right play, or are they being purposefully vague? We'll do that this hour on the show as well. But we begin at SoFi Stadium last night. in Los Angeles, where Matthew Stafford was looking for his first ever playoff victory, but so was Kyler Murray as well. Two dynamic offenses, two young dynamic offensive head coaches, two excellent quarterbacks. Who would have the advantage last night? It was apparent early. Rams, and more Rams. Wham, bam, thank you, Rams. The Cardinals dispatched quickly, trailing 21-0 in a route to a 34-11 Rams rout. Los Angeles moves on to take on the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers next weekend. What happened to the Cardinals? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Shotgun snap, Murray from his end zone. Looking, pumps, in trouble, gets hit, throws the ball forward, and it's picked off, and it's a touchdown. He underhand threw the ball. David Long picked it off, walks in for a touchdown. What a disaster. My goodness, you can't make that mistake.
It's a dream of this moment, and then, you know, be in the playoffs, first game of playoffs, and then to play the way I did, to play the way we did, you know, it's like I said, it's disappointing.
There's only one way to experience playoff football, and that's to go through it. And unfortunately, we didn't, you know, play our best game, and I thought L.A. played a great game, had a great plan, and outplayed us and outcoached us. But I think you just got to go through these moments and learn from it and grow from it and use it as motivation.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Dave Pasch on Cardinals Radio. Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray after the embarrassment. First off, props to the Rams. LA clearly had execution, clearly had focus, clearly had sharpness last night. They knew that early put points on the board. They went for sevens, not threes. And defensively, they didn't allow any breathing room for Kyler and the Cardinals offense. So great job by the Rams. But my God, from a Cardinals standpoint, what a complete pathetic dud. After the first quarter, the Cardinals had -3 yards. The second worst ever first quarter in the last 35 playoffs. Okay? By the end of their fourth possession, the Cardinals had 4 3-and-outs. 4 3-and-outs on 4 drives to begin the game. At one point, Odell Beckham had more passing yards than Kyler Murray. The offense was pathetic. They went 0-for-9 on third down. Only the 8th time that's ever happened in the playoffs. Their first down came with less than 7 minutes to play in the first half. The Cardinals, you might say, well, they ran into a great defense. That was the fewest yards the Rams had given up all season. And then Kyler's interception in the end zone pick six was just one of the worst decisions you'll ever see a quarterback make in a big spot. You're down 14-0 already. You're in the end zone. Clearly, you've got to get that ball out and out quick. And he waits and he pats. And that's where the Rams pass rush closes in. That's where they got him. And instead of being down 16-0, Kyler decides to try to underhand it out of the end zone. Does so weakly. Picked off. Pick six. Touchdown Rams. 21-0. Say goodnight. Cliff Kingsbury has always swooned everywhere he's been late in seasons. Texas Tech. And now 3 years with the Cardinals have all had bad second half of the season. And this year was the worst because this year was a team that would win double-digit games and make the playoffs. And the Cardinals lost 4 of their final 5 regular season games and then got blitzed in their first playoff game. When the dust settles on the 2021 Arizona Cardinals, They lost 5 of their last 6 games, getting beaten by the Rams twice, getting beaten by the Colts, getting beaten by the Seahawks, and remember, got roundhoused by the Lions. That was the Lions' first win of the season. Kingsbury looks the part. Kingsbury's offense early in season sizzles. Kingsbury still is not a good enough coach to prevent this type of weak, pathetic effort to the end of a season when defensive coordinators and better coaches have them on film. Kyler Murray, same bag. Sorry, bruh. You might be exciting. You might be whirling around, twisting around, throwing Hail Marys off one back foot. If you can't get it done in December or January, the NFL has little to do with you. And somewhere, Josh Rosen sits back and takes a nice long swig off of his Coors Edge, non-alcoholic, and smiles. Because they shuffled him out the door, must be the quarterback. And no doubt Kyler Murray's been much better than Josh Rosen. But damn, that's what you bring to the table in the playoffs, and that's what you bring to the table at the end of the season, and that's what you brought to the table at the end of last season as well. That was a garbage effort. That was a really, truly garbage effort. And how can you ever take the Cardinals seriously again? What would they have to do next year? I mean, they could go 14-3. They can go 15-2. What would it take for you to take them seriously in the playoffs? Because that last night was indicative of their last month and a half of the season, and the last month and a half of the season's indicative of every Cliff Kingsbury season ever in his coaching career. Props to the Rams. You know me. I love Matthew Stafford. Love seeing Stafford get that victory yesterday, and also love seeing Stafford play well in that spot. There was a lot of pressure on him to finally perform well in a big spot. He had not for much of this season. And Stafford, through important passes, through crisp passes, had the touchdown to Odell. And also, I thought the Rams really ran the football effectively. And that's such a crucial component in beating the Buccaneers. We've got plenty more time to talk about that game. But last night, the Rams ran for 140 yards on 38 carries. They committed. Sony Michel, 13 for 58. Cam Akers, 17 for 55. Michel had that 35-yarder right off the top. If Akers is back 100% and they're able to run the football, and thus they're not asking Matthew Stafford to throw for 340, and they can play defense with that pass rush, because once they get a lead on you, they can pin their ears back with an elite pass rush led by Aaron Donald, then the Rams become scary. Now, I still trust the Buccaneers more because we know Brady has all of the GOAT ability still, especially in the playoffs, where Stafford's a complete unknown still. You look at all of the big games that the Buccaneers have won now over the course of 2 seasons. With Brady, they haven't lost a playoff game yet. I still trust top to bottom that Bucs team that's done it before at home, a team going cross-country after a Monday nighter, having to play next weekend. I trust the Bucs more in this spot. But the Rams, the way that they played last night, is how they have to play next week as well. I'm not saying they're going to jump out to a 21-0 lead on the Bucs. I am saying the tenets of how they got that's how they have to play next weekend. Interesting turnaround for the Rams. They play Monday night, the first ever playoff team that will go from a win on a Monday night into playing next weekend. They do get the Sunday afternoon game, but a shorter week than everybody else. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. At least they put the Rams on Sunday, because could you imagine playing Monday night and then the Saturday? But all of the other three teams playing on Sunday, obviously, played on this previous Sunday. So one fewer day, one less day to get ready for the Rams than anybody else playing. The Bills actually have a bonus day. They played on Saturday night. They'll play on Sunday night coming up this weekend. So here's how your four games match up. Bengals and Titans is your 4:30 Eastern kick on Saturday. And then your nighttime kick Saturday night, Niners at Packers. Early game is a 3 o'clock at NBC Eastern kick, Rams and Bucks from Tampa. And then your late afternoon, evening kick from Kansas City, Bills and Chiefs from Arrowhead, 6:30 Eastern on CBS. When we come back, sound check your best audio of the day.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cowboys Hall of Famer is wavering in his support of Dak Prescott. And wait till you hear what they're talking about on Patriots Radio in Boston. Whew. The belief really took a hit on Saturday. We'll do that coming up next. Support a sound check. TA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Listen to us in podcast form if you ever miss any part of the show or want to hear it again. The four full hours are available, or the best of the show is always available. Check them all out, plus the PGP, which we will record after the show today, the show about the show. That's available on your favorite podcast platform. Just search The DA Show. Also, inside the Odyssey app, you can find our podcast there as well. We begin with Cowboys Hall of Fame wide receiver Drew Pearson, who joined Zach Gelb last night. And sounds like he's wavering on whether Dak Prescott is the guy.
Like I said, Jerry Jones' window is not that that wide open at this point. So you've got to step up and have something to play for. But, you know, I'm just wavering now with Dak. I saw regression as the season went on, and that's a disappointment at $40 million a year.
I'll tell you, after the game...
That's a disappointment at $2 million a year. It's not about the money. It's about that player playing that position and not improving and declining.
He's trying to be nice there, but that's not true. If you got Dak Prescott's production out of $2 million a year, you'd be thrilled with it, because that means he would be, like, the least paid, lowest paid starting quarterback in the NFL. And if you got to 11 or 12 wins and won the division going away and had a home playoff game, you'd be thrilled if Case Keenum got you that. But Dak Prescott's not Case Keenum. Dak Prescott isn't Mike Glennon. Dak Prescott is supposed to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And it's distinctly possible Dak's just not going to be the same after the injury. It's distinctly possible that there's a before and after for Dak. And that he's good, but never going to be great again. And that sucks to think about, because no matter who you root for, who you root against, injuries sapping the life or the energy or the potential out of a great player is always just heart-crushing. But that is a possibility. Now, I'm going to give it a little bit more time, another season. Let's see what Dak is next year, even further away from the injury. But let's at least put that on the table. Secondly, if you are hesitant on anointing Dak as the guy that can get the Cowboys back to a Super Bowl, you have every right to be. He has not shown the evidence to be able to do it. We'll talk more about the Cowboys coming up here on the show in a little bit. But Dak specifically, after having 7 points in that game through three quarters and having the first quarter that they did in an absolutely crucial game, which I talked about on Sunday Morning Football, there was no team under more pressure this weekend than the Dallas Cowboys. They had to win that football game, and not only did they not, that they came out and played like that early and got completely roughhoused by the Niners defense. If you have qualms about Dak Prescott as the guy to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl, you have every right to be, and I do. Now, that game was also simulcast on Nickelodeon. That was the Nickelodeon game. Now, last year, you might remember on the sideline was a young man from Nickelodeon called Lex Lumpkin. This year, it was a young man named Young Dylan. Yes, this is not like 10-year-old Bob Dylan. This is a young man, an actor, young child actor named Young Dylan. And so he spoke to Deebo Samuel after the game, and I got to be honest, compared to a lot of sideline reporters, I think I would hire Young Dylan right now to work the sideline or at least give him Jack Collinsworth's job on Sunday Night Football.
All right, Deebo can do it all. Samuel, you had a crazy game. You was doing it all. 100 total yards and a touchdown. How does it feel being mentioned as a running back and a wide receiver?
I mean, it's just amazing, man. I don't second question anything Kyle asked me to do. I trust him just as well as he trusts me with the ball in my hands, and I just go out here and give him all.
Yo, what was going on through your head when you guys knew you guys won?
Man, actually, I thought I got the first down, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Kyle put the kicker out there to pin them back deep, so we didn't pin them back deep. So we got a lot of faith in our defense, and they went out here and got the job done.
So this is between me and you. Do you think it's 49ers year? Do you think you guys are going to the Super Bowl?
I think so. We got one at a time, though. One at a time.
I see you. Man, appreciate great game,
you. Thank you, man.
And you got MVP last week. Yeah, great game.
Thank you. Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
YD.
Now, Young Dylan, if you could also see him, he's totally comfortable in the moment. He's dapping up Deebo Samuel, and he's got to be 9-10 years old. I mean, he's young, and he's tiny. I mean, he's really tiny. He looks almost like Webster. He's so tiny. So to see him that comfortable with an NFL player after a playoff game, kid's got chops. I really enjoyed that.
That was so enormous. That is what it's all about. And that's why when adults complain about the Nickelodeon game, just show them that 1 minute clip and realize you don't know what you're talking about. Like, that is so perfect. He absolutely, at that age, is better in that moment interviewing Deebo Samuel than I would ever be at any age. And that's how good he is.
Well, why do adults complain? What kind of complaints have you seen about the Nickelodeon broadcast?
I heard it randomly on other radio shows and some callers calling in. This is such so stupid. Who needs to see a coach get slimed? I'll hang up and listen.
Really?
Yeah, people just have this anger about, that's not football. We don't need the stupid things going off, handing people kids awards.
We're trying to play playoff games. Adults. It's exactly. For 11-year-olds.
Yeah, I understand how ridiculous this is. I heard it.
Yo!
I saw, you know, random TV shows where some people would debate and argue, do you need this, you know? It was a stupid topic going in. It was a stupid topic last year. And then you see 1 minute of young Dylan, and that's perfect. That says everything, and kids will go in and watch that game.
Yo!
At the Super Bowl, when they have the Sports Illustrated for Kids reporter ask a question, they're usually really good. You know, now granted, they get one question usually, and they're really coached up and they practice it. And SI does a good job finding a really personable slash comfortable person, but they usually do a really good job. And I didn't watch any of the Nickelodeon broadcast this year. I watched some of it last year, but I saw some clips on social, and they have a blimp come out and slime the field before the game. And when you're in the red zone, it's the slime zone. So the end zone fills up with slime. And when they kick field goals, there's one of the SpongeBob SquarePants faces in between the uprights. And if you make it, he starts smiling.
Right.
And the bit is, it ain't for adults. It's for 8-year-olds and 11-year-olds and young people that want to feel a little bit like it's their broadcasts. And, I mean, look. You have Gabrielle Nevaeh-Green, who's just kind of yelling through the entire broadcast. I know that happened last year. It happened a couple of times this year. It's not for adults. It's not supposed to be for adults. So just let it be for kids and enjoy it for what it is.
Right. She's not supposed to be John Madden in that spot. Like, that's not that's not what she's supposed to be. And, oh, by the way, look, if that helps your child fall in love with the game of football, where they come for the Nickelodeon and over a couple years, oh, I really like this. And then suddenly, you know, you're watching football with your kid when they don't care about Nickelodeon anymore. Then Nickelodeon has done its job, and that broadcast has done its job in helping you want to share those great football memories that we all shared, where we didn't need Nickelodeon broadcast to like games, but kids do need that now.
Mad Dog Russo, who's a sports talk legend last year, ripped the broadcast because he said Gabrielle Nevaeh-Green, who he, of course, didn't know the name of, just said, the kid in the broadcast booth, said almost when one of the passes deflected off the fingertips, and he went into a rant. Almost. There's no almost in football. Almost in the NFL, there is no almost. And you're like, I love Chris. Obviously, he's a legend, and he's entertaining. But you're going to critique the wording used by a 12-year-old in a broadcast? I mean, did not understand that had Jerry Rice dropped that pass in the end zone, we wouldn't be allowed to say almost.
Right. And let's be honest, I'm sure there were moments in that game where she was far more tolerable than Romo was in big spots.
I tell you, watching Romo call a Cowboys playoff game, that's a rough spot.
He's watching me look at a pork tenderloin.
He's normally yelpy, but then he went into yelp overdrive, and he was fired up for the Cowboys to try to win that football game. You could tell he couldn't hold it back. You know, at least when Aikman calls Cowboys games, you know he wants to see the Cowboys win, but in his mind, he's consistently trying to hedge that by being professional. Sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. For Romo, he had no filter. It was just like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys got the football. And finally, you want to know the temperature of Patriots fans after getting their asses kicked by the Bills? Here's a caller, Tom in Dorchester, who called into Gresh and Keefe middays on WEEI in Boston yesterday.
Tom in Dorchester with Gresh and Keefe. Good morning, Tom.
How you doing? I had to listen to the Greg Hill show. Listen, I don't know why you guys are fawning all over Bill Belichick. I can sit him one of the bottom 25% of the coaches. And Larry McDaniels is another
one. Tom, the show just started. You said he's in the bottom 25, so I will allow you to name the 24 coaches in the league better than him.
Please go ahead. Tom. We would like to hear that.
I can't name them all, but every one of them are better than him.
Every one of them. So would you say Mike McCarthy's better than Bill Belichick, Tom?
Mike McCarthy with Tom Brady is better than Bill Belichick.
Tom, I don't know you, but that sounds like something an idiot would say.
Every one of the Patriots coaches for the last 50 years have been better than Bill Belichick, but they did not have Tom Brady.
Every Patriots coach of the last 50 years is better than Bill Belichick. So Dick McPherson, Pete Carroll, Rod Rust, line up. Raymond Berry, line up. You're all better than Bill Belichick. He's in the bottom 25% of the coaches in the league. Bottom fourth. There's 75% of the league better than Bill Belichick. Tom in Dorchester just became my favorite Patriots fan ever. I want overreaction. I want Meltdown City. I want everybody in that town to look at Bill as a complete failure. That's what I want. Give me more. Let me drink the blood. That is so good. And Rich Keefe on there going, Tom, I don't know you, but that sounds like something an idiot would say. Every Patriots coach over the last 50 years is better than Bill Belichick.
What's great is the game was Saturday night, which meant that guy, Tom, was telling all his friends that take Sunday before he got to finally make the call Monday.
Yeah. Had that take Saturday night, had the take all day Sunday, and then had the take Monday morning as well. And finally said, I've been sitting on this long enough. You bozos need to know. Belichick's the worst Patriots coach of the last 50 years. He just had Tom Brady. It's awesome. So awesome. It's crumbling. It's all crumbling. It's all coming apart. Oh, God, I've waited so long for this.
At this rate, we're going to have Pats fans with, you know, like paper bags on their head at games next season.
The best. Absolute best. When do we start calling for Belichick's head? When does that happen? Next year after another 8-9 maybe? A 9-8? If the Dolphins actually get Deshaun Watson, do they get swept by the Bills and the Dolphins next year?
Certainly. I mean, preferably, I just hope Tom creates a wave and everybody does it over the next week, and then maybe we can get Belichick in here before the Giants figure out their situation.
It's great. Oh, it's just... It's all coming down!
If the bad Saints were the Aints, what can we make of the Patriots? What can be the dismissive bad Pats nickname?
The punts?
All right.
Nah.
It's a starting place.
Somehow Bogus will have a great one within 2 hours.
Right. Bogus will come around on this one. And
the Patriots.
It's too many. Too many letters.
Patriots?
And that sounds like they're in outer space. They're taking you on your mission to lose weight.
Patriots? Like ain't? No.
Patriot? Oh, yeah. It sounds like a painter business.
Certa Pro Painters. The Patriots. And that is your sound check.
The Pits.
Pits? So the Pats? New England Pits?
It's the best one we've had so far.
Yeah. We got to work on this. It's a Trash Tuesday, so there's plenty to trash after that weekend. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. That kind sir is in for your headline this morning. Andrew Bogus, AB, good morning.
Good morning again. So, yeah, super wild card weekend. Not that wild, thanks to the Patriots, the Eagles, the Steelers, and now the Cardinals. Four duds out of six games. Arizona barely made a whimper last night in L.A.
Second down from the 7. 6 yards for a first. Stafford throws right side. Cut with a fingertip grab. Plucking it off the turf at the 1 and tumbling in for touchdown.
That's Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. That made it 28-0 Rams in the third quarter. It was a 34-11 final at SoFi, sending LA to Tampa Bay Sunday afternoon. Matthew Stafford has his first playoff win after 2 TD passes, 1 running. His head coach, Sean McVay, happy we can stop talking about Stafford's resume.
He's still the same great player to me, and he always was before this game as well. And so I think it's good so you guys don't have to talk about that anymore, so he can get that one out of the way.
Stafford was 0-3 in the playoffs as a Lion. Kyler Murray's now 0-1 after just 137 yards.
Matthew Stafford had 3 games in the playoffs, had 3 playoff games in Detroit.
That's what I read this morning.
Boy, it's hard to remember. He was robbed by the Cowboys on the Phantom Flag. Did they also lose at New Orleans? There was a Jim Schwartz Lions playoff game.
They lost. It was. They lost to Seattle and they lost to New Orleans.
They lost at Seattle.
Yeah, at Seattle for sure.
I think they were both Saturday night wild card playoff games. I remember the New Orleans game because the only thing I remember from that game was Titus Young, the wide receiver, wore a towel that was the entire size of his leg the whole
game. Okay. Wow, so how about that, that the Lions have played in three playoff games in our recent memory in the Matthew Stafford years? That's kind of a little mind-boggling. Twice under Jim Caldwell, I think, and then once under Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, they had not terrible years. They
never won the division, though. Always a wild card.
Yeah, well, they played, I believe, a Sunday night Week 17 game to win the division and lost to the Packers in one of those spots.
Right, right.
If I remember correctly. It might have been the last one they were in.
But doesn't that seem like an alternate universe where the Lions have gone to three playoff games in the last decade in Matthew Stafford's career?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
And somebody said this, too. On Saturday, the Bengals, we still think they're the Bengals, but they've been in the playoffs now 7 of 13 years. Half the time they make it.
This is, to me, one of the most mind-boggling facts. Marvin Lewis went to 7 postseasons, went 0-7, but went to 4 playoffs in a row. The Bengals went to the playoffs 4 years in a row. How hard is that to imagine?
And during an era where the Steelers and Ravens were really good?
Right, yeah, right. During an era where the Steelers and Ravens won Super Bowls, the Bengals went to 4 consecutive playoffs and won the division twice in that era, I think. Okay, more.
More is Niners QB, Jimmy Garoppolo, a slightly sprained shoulder. He should practice today, be okay for Saturday at Lambeau. San Francisco also thinking linebacker Fred Warner will play after Sunday's ankle injury, but Nick Bosa is in concussion protocols. Those Bengals have lost starting D-tackle Larry Ogunjobi for the rest of the playoffs because of a foot injury, and the Raiders fired GM Mike Mayock yesterday after 3 seasons. It's a long list of failed or disappointing first-round picks from Mayock. Meanwhile, interim head coach Rich Bisaccia says he has had initial talks with Mark Davis about the full-time head coaching job, but Vegas will talk to others, including Patriots assistant Jerod Mayo. Russell Westbrook, the play of the night in the NBA.
Here comes Westbrook into the front court for L.A. Russ drives right down the middle and dunks on top of Gobert. Technical foul on Westbrook for getting in Gobert's face. And a signature moment for Russ as the crowd comes to its feet.
That's John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Russ had 15, 25 for LeBron as LA down to Utah 101-95 to end a 3-game skid. Devin Booker, a season high 48 as the Suns won in San Antonio 121-107. The Mavs held off the Thunder 104-102 with Luka Doncic putting up 20 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists. And Portland, a 98-88 win in Orlando. CJ McCollum scored 16 after missing 17 with that collapsed lung. Quarterback Hunter Johnson is transferring back to Clemson. The former 5-star recruit left for Northwestern after his freshman season because Trevor Lawrence showed up. Now Dabo Swinney is looking for all the help after a disappointing offense in the fall. The Pittsburgh Penguins, 5-3 winners in Vegas after spotting the Golden Knights a 3-0 lead. And Andy Murray, a 5-set win in round 1 of the Australian Open. It's his first win down under since 2017. DA, back to you.
Mraz has pitched the Patsies.
Okay.
Although that kind of sounds like a cute way to call the Pats if you like them. Oh, yeah, I'm going out to see the Patsies.
Yeah, especially if you're from Dorchester.
Yeah, but if that's the joke on New England, yeah, we're being nice, but really we're making fun of you and you don't realize. That makes it even better when Patriot fans don't know that they're not in on the joke.
I kind of like it when they know they're being made.
All right, so we'll call them the Pits and we'll move on.
When we come back on the show, are the Cowboys being purposefully vague about Mike McCarthy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
There are some days where, you know, anxiety and soul crushing get you, and you just need to soothe the soul. And an Asiago Ranch Chicken Club, 2 junior bacons, a 4-piece nugget, and a Frosty sometimes is what you need.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Chubbo.
48 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for hanging with us on this Tuesday morning. Trash Tuesday to you. DA on CBS. You can always watch us on your phone or any other device. We are mobile friendly and digital simulcast worthy at watchda.com or on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there and join the conversation.
Oh, okay.
So what do you do with Mike McCarthy? You got 2 assistant coaches who are going to get interviews for head coaching jobs, Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. You just watched Mike McCarthy coach your team to a division championship and a home playoff game and 530 points on offense, a franchise record, and yet go one and done again to the playoffs and completely botch that final play and defend that final play. Now, Kellen Moore calls that final play, but Mike McCarthy has to green light that final play. Here was Stephen Jones on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Now, I mean, obviously part of that future, and I don't know what you can say, what you want to say, but are you of the belief or are you confident that Mike McCarthy will continue to lead this team next season?
Absolutely. Very confident.
Now, that was Stephen Jones. Jerry Jones, after the game, was a little bit less certain about that. And I think that Jerry Jones was purposefully vague. I think it's hard to make those decisions and hard to speak on those decisions after an emotional playoff loss. And Jerry Jones had admitted, just like he did erroneously or ridiculously after the Denver Broncos game earlier in the season, I never considered losing this game. Which is so funny that Jerry keeps saying these types of things when all the Cowboys ever do is lose big games. So why would you ever not allow that in your reality? Time and time again, 26 years you go without making the championship game or the Super Bowl, how can you ever assume anything is a certainty? In fact, if there's a certainty in life, it's that the Cowboys lose this game. Always lose this game. But I do think that there's a part of Jerry that wants to just bring the band back because he likes Mike McCarthy. He's defended Mike McCarthy, and he's not a guy that fires guys easily. I will say, out of all of the traits that I think Jerry Jones has as a weakness, desire for attention, rah-rah, put the cart before the horse, more show, more sizzle than steak, his loyalty to guys is a pretty cool thing. And he didn't want to fire Chan Gailey. And he didn't want to fire Dave Campo. And he didn't want to fire Jason Garrett. And he doesn't want to fire Mike McCarthy. He does not want to do those things. He likes those guys. He always liked those guys. It was when he got pressure from other places that he felt he had to. Unless he feels like he has to fire Mike McCarthy, I don't think he will. And so there's an interesting, delicate dance right now for the Cowboys. Let's just go ahead and say they lose Kellen Moore to a head coaching job. Jerry Jones may very well say, we can't afford to fire Mike McCarthy because he's the constant here. We want to restart with a new OC and restart with a new head coach? No. Let's keep at least one part in place. If Kellen Moore gets a job somewhere else, we need to have Mike McCarthy there to keep this consistent. I know Mike McCarthy can win 11 games. He just did it for me. That could be one way he looks at it. The other way he could look at it is, let me fire Mike McCarthy to make sure I keep Kellen Moore, to promote Kellen Moore to be my next head coach. Now, do I think Kellen Moore is ready for that? I don't. I think Kellen Moore is a very bright offensive coordinator. He's still really young. And I still think when I see Kellen Moore that he needs more seasoning in this space, in this role, watching how teams are run before I would give him the keys to my franchise. But Jerry may very well do that. So I think this is why Jerry was non-committal after the game. Again, Stephen Jones is more committal, and maybe Stephen Jones actually is the one pulling the strings. I don't know. I think Stephen Jones is that guy in drafting. It feels like still Jerry Jones has the final say in coaching. But again, who knows? It's a weird organization where the family is the GM. So go figure on what happens. It's a family business. Like, it's a rotate your tires place. It's a family business, and they happen to run the draft and assemble the team, and they don't have a general manager, and they're the football decision makers. Okay, you do you. But the fact is, you doing you has led to nothing. Has led to a lot of one-and-dones or non-playoff seasons and nothing in the championship game or Super Bowl material since the mid-90s. Since the mid-90s. Since Ski-Lo was a hip-hop superstar. You got to go back. We'll see. At the very least, they're never boring. When we come back on the show, let's look inside this NFL weekend upcoming. And if Josh Allen is able to go to Arrowhead and win, would that actually put him above Patrick Mahomes? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!